Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is the it's Thursday. It's 11 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we'll get Ray. Is your mic on?
I don't know.
No. Oh, there now it go. Is. As wow. soon as I yelled, it was turned on. Yes. Sorry about that, Dave Hopper, our engineer.
I figured it worked because you were just on.
Right.
But anyway, we're waiting for our panel to assemble. They are coming out of another taping, and we'll be in mere moments. We have many things to discuss coming up on the program later today. We're going to have Amy Chu and Jeb Rubenfield. They are husband and wife who have written a controversial new book called The Triple Package, and we'll talk to them in our next hour. And we always welcome your comments on the program this morning, roundtable at wamc.org. And you can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page, or you can tweet us. And that's Ray doing his tweet.
Yeah.
And you can do that at WAMC Roundtable.
Right.
At WAMC Roundtable. I believe all the participants of our panel are now present. They have made their entrance, a grand entrance, I will say. So let me introduce them to you. Joining us, of course, Ray Graff, who has been here, and University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good.
Excellent.
And we have a TSA story today. I'm just going to be quiet till we get to that.
I put that in especially
just for me.
For
I
you,
knew it. I love it.
Especially for you. and then, of course, WMC's Alan Chardog is here as well. Good morning, Alan.
Hi.
How are you? Yeah.
Did somebody have French toast in here this morning?
Yes.
I have maple oatmeal.
Oh, that's what it is.
I have so
maple
good.
Oatmeal.
Usually we have the continental breakfast, but he had something special today.
Yeah. There's
a big Weight Watcher movement going on at WAMC.
Yes,
it's horrible to be here, people.
Yes, there is. But it's 4 points for the for the oatmeal without the maple part.
No, well, I don't know. Mine is.
That's in the little envelope.
Yeah, mine is 3.
Are you guys both on the Weight Watchers?
Oh, stop.
Yeah, they're
I've been
impossible.
On the Weight Watchers.
They're talking about points and stuff.
Yeah,
I think
enough.
We have to talk about trans fat, right?
Agreed.
Just to balance it.
Actually, we should start just with that.
Aha. FDA story.
Let's do the FDA story.
Brilliant.
This broke late last night, and the Food and Drug Administration, for the first time in 2 decades, will propose major changes to nutrition labels and food packages, putting calorie counts in large type and adjusting portion sizes to reflect how much Americans actually eat. And this is something.
Will this affect the barcode? Is what I want to know, because you, Joe, taught me a very important lesson that I could take my camera and I could take a picture of the barcode, and it would tell me how many points
this
on the
affect,
Weight Watchers.
This
I've
will
just
affect
eaten.
The barcode.
It
yes,
will.
It will.
Well,
but it's really interesting. Here's
but the barcode would be updated.
It would be updated.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the most interesting thing about this is you get a realistic view. Right now, you
take out Ben
and Jerry's, and you say, oh, that's not so bad. 250 calories, I can do that.
But it turns
out.
You
actually, that's for half a cup, when in fact, I'm eating a pint.
No, that's
so
exactly
that's much
right.
more. Yeah. So
right.
now it's going to say, I think a cup they're going to use.
That's
for,
right.
For
now,
ice
yesterday
cream.
Night, I went home and I wanted some. I was very hungry. And I couldn't find the little cans of peas, which are one serving.
So
I went and I bought a big can of peas. Well, that's got 3 servings or 3.5 servings in it. But it's still only 150 calories.
Yeah.
So you
no
have
one
to
ever gets
that
fat from eating
yeah,
too
give
many
me a break.
Vegetables.
Yeah, I don't think peas are a problem.
But,
however,
okay, cheese doodles. Okay, that's a bad one. You look at that, it's like 250 calories. Oh, I can do that. And then
well,
I
and sometimes
eat like
they say,
calories.
Sometimes they will say 17 doodles. You know,
yeah,
they'll say that. But there are other times where, just for example, a common real-life, real-world example is that a can of soup. You would say a can of soup, and that is 2.5 servings.
That's
and you would think, well, you know,
that's ridiculous.
That's
everybody
kind of silly.
Drinks the whole can of soup.
Most people. Yeah. So this has, again, this has come in. It's an amazing transformation, according to Dr. Margaret Hamburg, commissioner of the FDA. Things like the size of a muffin have changed so dramatically. That's the thing. You get a muffin, and then it would say that serving would be
a muffin is that's all your points. But you get more points than I do because you're bigger. But that's all my points in one day is a muffin.
Is a muffin.
And how many points in a frankfurter? Said Dr. Margaret Hamburg.
Enough. Enough of this points
jive. This is really important stuff. This is why Americans are fat. We eat so much. And this study has shown how much, even since they use 1970s and 80s data to make the calorie counts that we have on labels now, it's so out of date. And that's the reason we're fat. So, just eat too much.
Well, how about personal accountability? I mean, come on. You're going to blame
the...
Well,
this should help. The labels, Ray, will help personal accountability.
You're going to blame the labels. Blame the people.
You know, I think Ray has a point. I think Ray has a point. Yesterday, we read the amazing story on the front page of the New York Times that after all this time, they found out that kids in America are getting thinner. We've all said, as Rosemary just did over and over again, that's why we're fat. Now, it turns out...
Children are not personally accountable. Their parents take care of them.
Well, but the parents are personally accountable for what happens to their children. Sure. And apparently, they've been listening. But what I'm saying is that the common wisdom was we're all getting fat, kids are obese, and now we read in a lead story in the New York Times...
43%.
43% down. That's
but
amazing.
It also found that people over 60 were gaining in weight and everybody else was holding steady. We have a long way to go, and I think the FDA labels will help people who want to be.
Without question. You're right about that, Rosemary.
But I mean, yeah, regardless of the obesity issue, there's still you want to talk about accountability, an accountability of what is in the food that you're eating, how it reflects to the real world of what it is that most people how they will consume it, when they will
Absolutely.
Consume it. So having that information at your fingertips
is better.
It's
great that they're doing this. But I mean, if you know that a can of soup is 2.5 servings, most people are you know, as smart as you, and they can figure that out as well. It's great that they're changing the label, but so what?
First of all, most people are not as smart as Joe. He's very, very, very smart.
New York now requires menus, but many people are very smart.
No, I mean that. I mean, a lot of people get
New York
food.
Now requires menus to put calorie counts on all their food items, and that changes the way you eat. You go in there and you see that a salad that you has 1,300 calories.
Turns
and
you right off.
It turns you right off.
That's
labels
right.
Labels help.
We should do that.
It's important.
One of the things, I don't know, I kind of disagree with you on that. I think that the calorie thing in the menus, I don't like it. I mean...
Well, of course you don't like it because you see 1,000 calories, you say, I'm not going to have that bagel.
That has nothing to do with it, actually. It has more to do with, you look up and you go, wow, they want $7 for a bagel? And you're like, oh, it's $7.40, because it's not done well, and you don't know what it is, and it's confusing, and they don't... And here again, you don't know what that includes, and when you ask them, they never know.
If I have offended you in any way, Joe, I want to apologize right here and now.
I don't like it. Although, I do with the nutrition effects, where they have 8 servings per container. It's in bold letters. The calories is not in this half-point type. It's now in, like, 18-point type, where it'll actually tell you what the calories
Will they change the proportion? In other words, if it says 230 calories on there, will it now not be a third of the can, or will it be for the whole can?
They're going to make it for a portion. They will decide on portions. And again, like for ice cream, what's now a half cup will be one whole cup. So that will
Cereal
change.
Is another one.
But there is a hope that being required to do this, don't forget the food manufacturers, which are as bad as the drug companies, which are always knocking here, have been fighting this. And the thought is that if they're required to label in a different way, they will change what they're putting into their food products. Less sugar, for example.
I don't think it goes far enough.
Well...
How far would you go? You have
I would go far and say, okay, if you eat this whole can of
pinto beans,
if you eat these whole can of pinto beans, you got
well, you'll have no friends if you eat the whole can of pinto beans. You know,
you're probably.
But I think it describes some of the problems we've had here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, what? 4 sheets of what?
To the wind, I said.
Oh, all right. I thought you were saying he was drunk.
I now
get the wind shot. Added sugars.
Okay, we're really going down.
Yeah, it's,
the new design would require information about added sugars as well as vitamin D and potassium, which also seems important,
right.
Especially potassium. So 90 days, we'll talk this out. It's not a done deal, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will report on whether the FDA has made their decision yet, and we will talk about other
really?
Issues
really?
Coming up right after this.
Support comes from Adirondack Sports and Fitness Summer Expo, a Capital Region run, hike, bike, paddle, triathlon, and healthy living show with 125 exhibitors and more, March 8th and 9th at Saratoga City Center. ADKSports.com. Topperson Natural Creams, designed to address the epidemic of addiction to pain medicine by providing pain relief for the 21st century. Topperson.com. And Curtis Lumber, proudly serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more for 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com.
It does matter, Ray. All right, it does matter. I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the important decision made in Arizona. This is a story that we talked about a few days ago. And now we look to Governor Jan Brewer, a Republican who vetoed a bill on Wednesday that would have given business owners the right to refuse service to gay men, lesbians, and other people on religious grounds. Her action came amid mounting pressure from Arizona business leaders who said the bill would be a financial disaster for the state and would harm its reputation. Prominent members of the Republican establishment, including Mitt Romney and Governor Rick Scott of Florida, also sided with the bill's opponents, who argued that the measure would have allowed people to use religion as a fig leaf for prejudice. Governor Brewer announced her veto at a hastily called news conference after spending the day holed up at the Capitol in private meetings with opponents and supporters. "I call them like I see them, despite the cheers or the boos from the crowd," she said. She added that the legislation does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona, and that it was broadly worded and could result in unintended, and negative consequences.
A good governor would have acted to make sure this never got passed in the first place. And why did she have to wait so long to veto it? She should have done it as soon as it hit her desk. Ridiculous law.
I was struck by the time that it took.
Yep.
Actually, and even the whole thing about the discussions. Although I understand wanting to take in the sides and have a discussion and so forth, but it, you know, like hastily called news conference. Well, come on, you're like,
yeah.
Didn't you know you were gonna?
Yeah. Although, the whole world is waiting to hear this.
But yeah. You know, we were talking on Monday about this story, and we didn't know whether mm-hmm. she was going to do it or not. There were mm-hmm. there were some political questions and question marks. So I guess are we at all surprised that with mounting pressure. You got to wonder what the
including
tipping
the Super Bowl, by the way.
Right.
Said, hey, listen, you want the Super Bowl? We don't think so.
Yeah. Well,
you should explain that. In the 1990s, Arizona, with its far-thinking leadership, refused to make Martin Luther King Day national. It was a holiday.
I remember
it was
that. Yeah.
Every place except in Arizona, and so they lost the Super Bowl
yeah.
that year.
So, and so the search committee said, "You know, we're going to take this highly into account," and that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And when you had all these major corporations demanding that they back off, you know, American Airlines, you name it, they were all there. You know, I think in retrospect, although you're right, Joe, we were puzzled. In retrospect, she really had to do it. I don't think she had a choice.
I think so. The best commentary was Andy Borowitz, you know, one of my favorite comics, writes for New Yorker, and he had a headline, "Arizona discovers that gays have money and spend it. They should have told us this. It was up to them to let us know." It was very funny, blaming the victims of their silly bill.
Senator John McCain, a Republican who had urged the governor to veto the legislation, said in a statement, "I hope that we can now move on from this controversy and assure the American people that everyone is welcome to live, work, and enjoy our beautiful state of Arizona."
He's looking more and more like a liberal every day.
He was condemned, by the way, by the Republican Party of Arizona.
Of course.
Not far-thinking, far-ahead-thinking organization for being too liberal.
And so that is... But you do wonder of then what does that say about the tenor of the state and is our opponents or proponents of the bill... Are they going to do something else? Is there some other action that they want to take, or you know how this will ultimately play out in the future when it comes to overall to gay rights?
Well, you know, you had at least two state senators who voted for the bill saying they did wrong.
Yeah,
and
that
apologizing and mm-hmm. saying you know it was the wrong thing to do. So I think they've been burned, they clearly they're going to the populace. And trying to excite them as politicians often do, but this one I think sort of backfired on them.
And that's
a good observation.
You know, I thought that when you look at the states and you know, there's always the state rivalries, and you look at states that are progressive or states that are, you know, maybe mired in another century and everything.
New Hampshire or Arizona.
Well, and you wouldn't say, I don't know, like given the mass exodus and how many people retire, much like Florida, how many people retire to Arizona, that I don't think they want that label, right? I mean, I think when you're bringing a lot of people in from the outside to come to the state, that it would really have a fairly devastating effect on just how people view the state of Arizona, because it's going to become a punchline.
One would think so. One would think you're right.
Well, backward retrograde legislation is not limited to states in the United States. Spain right now is considering a new abortion bill. It's been pretty liberal, but after 30 years, they would restrict it to just about rape and danger to the health of the mother. Otherwise, it would be outlawed. Very, very backward looking.
No.
So. It's funny how these things change, though. We watch the gay thing in the United States literally turn around.
Right.
You know, and overnight, when one would have thought that it would take years and years and years, and just turns around. Marijuana being another good example.
Very good example.
So politicians have got to be very careful when they try to exploit, you know, what they consider to be the common wisdom, and it turns out it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. You had to think maybe Texas was like, oh, boy, this will take some of the heat off us looking like buffoons. No, Texas, you still win.
Just cruising right along.
That's right. So we'll see what happens. What does it say about the governor in her future, political future, do you think?
I think it helps her immensely. Even
amongst Republicans?
Makes her a moderate. It shows her to be a moderate, which is what, you know, I think is coming into fashion. And I think they knew that she had to do the courageous thing for her, which I think...
I hate that she's being called courageous for that.
Yeah, it turns out not to be so courageous, but correct.
She vetoed a bill that was clearly unconstitutional. Come on, that's not courageous.
It is if in fact... The reason that these folks in the legislature voted is because their common wisdom was that these people they could harness the prejudice against gays, and then she goes against them, her own dominant party, and she vetoes it, even though we can tell the reasons why. You've all mentioned them today, people who are migrating to Arizona, people who have investments there, the major companies, which is fodder for the Republican Party, saying, don't you dare do this. She still comes off as having done the right thing. And they showed the crowds, by the way, who were holding up nasty signs about her, throwing down the signs and cheering her after she did this. So, Rosemary,
courageous would have been to veto it right away, speak out against the legislature doing this. That's courageous when you go against your party.
I'm not arguing she's courageous. I'm just arguing she's getting credit for being courageous. There's a big difference.
All right, I'll accept that.
Thank you. Well, I always like it when you accept it.
Well, you know what? We're just about out of time, but I think, you know, this also became very quickly, as people started to read the legislation, not just a gay issue, that they were saying that, okay, if you were a Muslim taxi driver, you could refuse to pick up a woman traveling solo.
Yeah.
It was the language was quite incredible that would have been allowed under this legislation.
I'll bet the Democrats are hoping they try it again.
We'll see what happens. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. Rosemary Arameo, Alan Chartok, and Ray Graff join us on our panel this morning. We welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel and to our discussion. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Ed Puffer of Tilson writes in and says, Governor Brewer vetoed the anti-gay legislation, but I don't think it was courageous. I haven't heard Governor Brewer say she did this because she favors equal rights for gay people.
She certainly didn't.
It was a business decision. Arizona would lose tourism dollars and tax revenue, which I believe is a point you were trying to make earlier.
A very good letter.
Well, she did say in the statement yesterday that, you know, religious freedom is certainly important, so as not discriminating. I mean, so she sort of said that.
Okay.
No one's buying it, but that's what she said.
Well,
because
no,
I didn't hear that. I mean, I understand.
No, but there were so many different ways of discriminating within the context of that bill, and I think what the author of our letter says is saying, you know, it's not coming out specifically about gay rights, and so.
What I meant, Ray, was that she can say something that fits into a long talk, but the spirit of her objections to it were really not based on what was right here.
I think her statement was perfect. Religious liberty is a core American and Arizona value, but so is no discrimination. I mean, that's well put, right?
Right.
So, you know.
So what?
Move on to the next topic.
All right. Let's do that. Thank you, Ray. It's the GOP.
Just trying to keep it real.
Thank you. Republicans are in a stronger position than Democrats for this year's midterm elections, benefiting from the support of self-described independents, even though the party itself is deeply divided and most Americans agree more with Democratic policy positions. Figure that one out. This according to the latest New York Times CBS News poll. The independents in the poll, a majority of whom were white or male or under the age of 45, continued to sour on President Obama's job performance. Republicans hold their edge despite the problems in their party over whether it is too conservative or not conservative enough, and many are discouraged about the party's future. In turn, Democrats, more optimistic and relatively united, nonetheless, they too are held in low regard overall by a public fed up with Washington's failure to compromise, and they have failed so far to energize a broader segment of the population.
I don't believe in independence. I don't think they really exist. It's a figment of the media's imagination. We always have these people who have not decided how they're going to vote yet, right up until the month before the elections, and they really know how they're going to vote. This is the Republicans. And it's amazing to me that, you know, that Republicans are still holding strong when polls, and this story goes on to talk about that, shows that the Republican position on many leading issues of the day is not the same as the majority of the people.
I think you're wonderful, Rosemary, but I take a different view of it. No, really. I take a different view of it. I think we have learned from pollsters that they are quite frequently right on the mark. They can put the decimal point before an election. I think there are a couple of things at play here. Number one, these districts are seriously gerrymandered. We know
that.
So therefore, when we are reading a newspaper article that says basically the Republicans are leading in terms of the election, the ability to keep the House and maybe, by the way, take the Senate.
It's scary.
There's no apportionment in the Senate, except that every state gets, you know, two senators. But I think, you know, I think those people who are Democratic will be or Democrats will feel, somewhat shaken by these results. I know one thing. You get an Andrew Cuomo and he starts to talk about I know exactly where he's going. No taxes and the rest of it. He wants those purples, those people in the middle who are independent. And we see in every election that there is a middle group who can either think that, you know, it's right to have a minimum wage or increase, or I should get on board with those people who want to preserve every penny in taxes that they can because I identify with them. And that's the purples. Those are the people they are. And I think the pollsters know it.
There seems to be the day-to-day politics and how people are sort of the barometer, the daily barometer of how people are feeling. But when you look, as Rosemary indicated, when you look at the stronger issues on immigration and same-sex marriage and marijuana legislation and gun control and abortion, the people side with Democrats.
And so
when it comes down to if those Democratic candidates are able to voice those issues, doesn't it not help them during the election?
Well, personally, as a political, personally as Alan, I hope you're right. And but professionally, as a political scientist who looks at data, this is very discouraging, and I'm sure Nancy Pelosi and others know it. And there are some hidden issues. You named a couple. Let me give you a couple of others. It's 39 million or something like that people put on or potentially put on the rolls. I go around and I hear
welfare.
The
Obamacare.
Affordable care. There are many people in this country who don't like it when people who are below them in terms of economic earnings get something. I hear it all the time, and I hear it about cell phones. They get cell phones, and I hear it about, you know, food stamps. And they, I was online, says somebody, and they were abusing their food stamps. That's the kind
of family, and their kids has Xbox. How did that happen?
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that percolates through. So yes, while immigration as a concept is one that I think a lot of people can sign on to, there are these hidden prejudicial, sometimes hateful things that bring people along on the other side.
You know, I looked at the poll. It's a really interesting poll, well worth reading. And I see two results. One is really bad news for Democrats in the next election.
Yep.
I think you're right, Alan, that gerrymandering and the way things are just set up and the politics of the times, the prejudices of the time, we're going to see a Republican stronghold for a long time to come in the federal government. But after that long time to come passes, it's all in the favor of the Democrats right now. The population is getting younger, less white, less male. We're going to see a change, and that does not bode well still for the Republicans who have not learned to change.
On the other hand, the short run for the Democrats is we are facing a situation here in this country in which you could have a Republican United States Congress, which we now have a House of Representatives, a Republican Senate. And they've tried how many times to upend Obamacare or Affordable Health Care Act? So I think you could see, of course, the president will veto. But I can see some real danger for the Democrats if this happens.
I've heard you say that recently that you think that it may be a possibility the Democrats take the Senate, but
the
Republicans take the Senate. But I mean, that's a pretty big swing. You really think that's a possibility?
All the political scientists and the pundits that I've been reading say it's an absolute possibility.
It's not that big of a difference right now.
No, the Democrats can take it.
And we're seeing lots of resignations of old-time legislators, and they're Democrats going.
So, there are more seats that have to be defended by the Democrats than the Republicans.
Exactly.
It's always dangerous.
We do want to take a break and move on to other issues. Another part of this poll, a separate question, was specifically to Democrats asking who they wanted as their candidate for president in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
More than 8 in 10 Democrats say they want Hillary Rodham Clinton, showing a level of interest in her that no other potential candidates, Democrat or Republican, come close to matching among their party's voters. The potential candidates drawing the most interest after Mrs. Clinton are Joseph Biden, Jeb Bush, and Rand Paul.
Well,
Christie's not there, notice. Christie's dropped.
Christie has dropped.
Yeah. Rand Paul is.
Well, Rand Paul, Ray and I do Vox Pop here, as you know.
Yeah.
And in the last time around, we heard an awful lot about Ron Paul and
Rand Paul. Not favorable things?
Well, yes.
From a lot of supporters.
Well, yes, but it doesn't mean that they're numerically huge.
Powerful.
It just means that there is at least a small group of people who feel passionately,
very energized,
you know, about those guys. And by the way, it was interesting to me that when I would answer these phone calls on Vox Pop, quite often it would be a young person on the other end of the phone.
I find him very interesting. I think you're never quite sure what position it will take. Several times he's taken positions that I wanted my own representative to take and had not heard on drone warfare, for example. Mm-hmm. He is an interesting politician.
But the Hillary and Joe Biden, by the way, is the interesting guy because he keeps saying he's going to do it.
He certainly hasn't dismissed it.
No, there was a piece in the paper the other day about how it looks like he wants to do it.
Andrew Cuomo's not on the list either.
Andrew Cuomo can't do it.
He can't do it. You think he has to wait?
No, his closeness with the Clintons and everything else, and he's really got a problem because if she wins, that's 8 years, and if she loses to the Republican, that's another 8 years.
It is interesting, because both Clinton and Biden are at their peak years for them.
Right.
For both of them, it's like now or
that,
maybe
that
never.
That ship is going to sail.
Yeah.
So, do they primary each other?
Wow.
Well, you know, if he does it, with 80%, you know, being for her, this is no, you know, Barack Obama coming out of the sunset, you know, to take her on. I don't see how he can do it. And I don't think he's a guy who's filled with hubris. I mean, I think there are people who are out there who would do it just to upset the apple cart. But I don't think Biden's like that. I like him a lot.
I don't think he will.
I like him a lot.
I think if you're what you're saying, which of looking at of him saying that he's going to do it. So if that's the trial balloon and he keeps on seeing these polls, don't you think in a couple of months he'll say, all right.
Yes.
I'm good.
Yeah. I've never been one who thinks that if you have a primary, it's necessarily bad. Because what I've always thought is that, and Ray, who's a great Mets fan, the analogy is that if you play, you know, if you play very
you're in the conversation, Ray.
If you play close ball, you know, until it hones your abilities. And I think that what it does, if you have a primary, is it gets somebody's name out there a lot. Now, there's also a lot of money involved in this. And if you have to waste money in a primary that you could use in a general election, that's another whole story.
Yeah, and if the Republicans do what they did 4 years ago, which is where you have a large field and they, you know, they battle each other to the point of you know, like bloody carcass, you know, that obviously would hurt them as well, especially if the Democrats have a sole candidate. But we shall see. We have a lot of other things to discuss, including the TSA story.
Oh, yeah. Prepare Rosemary's rant
now.
We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from UMass Amherst Museum of Contemporary Art, presenting an exhibition by local artist Kim Carlino featuring her own pieces in juxtaposition with selections from the museum's permanent collection. umass.edu/umca. And H. Houst & Son True Value, Woodstock, New York. Since 1932, a local store featuring hardware, Benjamin Moore paint, and tool and equipment rentals. True Value. Start right. Start here. HHoust.com.
There's a picture of a lovely couple in the Washington Post. They are at the Grand Canyon. They went on a trip, and they Ashley Brandt and her husband are standing in front of the Grand Canyon. They had a lovely, lovely time. It was a belated birthday trip. They had a very, very good time. And then they had to go home, and they went to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And they stood in the airport security line, as you do. And
he goes through,
and then an agent with the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, took a look at her license and said, I don't know if we can accept these. The license was from Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, my birthplace. And I don't know if we could accept these. Do you have a passport? She was dumbfounded and quickly grew a little scared. A manager was summoned, she says. I started thinking, oh, my God, I have to get home. Am I going to get home? Well, the long President's Day weekend had been Brandt's boyfriend's first chance to make good on a December birthday promise to bring her to all of this. But the implication from the TSA agent seemed clear to Brandt. The district is not a state, and TSA requires a state-issued ID to board a plane.
God.
So, never mind that Brandt had used her brand new DC license, the one marked District of Columbia, over a backdrop of cherry blossoms to board the flight to get to Arizona from Washington, D.C. just days before.
Arizona again.
Or that her boyfriend with the same license got through
in a different line
with no problem.
So then there's a huddle. And they say, can I take this? I don't know. Check. Fine. Brought people down. Front office came up. And then finally, after several go-arounds, they finally let her through and said, yeah, I think we can accept those. Go ahead.
So for all those people who, all those listeners who say I'm too hard on the TSIC, I don't even have to say a word. They are so stupid and mindless.
That
they
make but the there you said it anyway.
Themselves. Yes. This whole, which I'm, believe me, I am not convinced that we need the TSA. I do not believe they provide the service that we could get from actually x-raying cargo stuff. Well, however, they're there. There are whole websites about incidences like this one. My favorite happens to be a man who's carrying the ashes of his grandfather home. And they have to look to see, make sure there's nothing in it that's, you know, could you could hijack a plane with. So they open it up and they spill his ashes on the floor and laugh. Laugh about it. A little toddler cries because they take her teddy bear away to go through the conveyor into the x-ray machines. The little baby starts crying.
What, you think no terrorist is capable of bringing a child onto a plane who could have explosives? No, I mean...
I think that there's some common sense in here. And that's exactly
what they do with
the
teddy bear. They x-ray the teddy bear and give it back? I mean, you know, 2 minutes of crying.
I was interrupted because what they did was the baby started crying like that suspicious activity, the toddler. And so they x-ray the thing. They take it and they're doing a pat search on the little child. We teach our children to scream when strangers touch you. She screamed. It's crazy.
I like to speak in behalf of all the men and the fine men and women of the TSA.
All right.
The fine men and women of the TSA, I talk to them all the time when I'm going through Albany Airport. I think they're wonderful. I think they've always been unfailingly kind to the people around me as well as to me, which
it's
is really
unusual. Go to different airports.
Which is really unusual. Yes, it does. But I think this is a job that needs to be done. I have said so again. I fight with my own wife who can't stand taking her shoes off to go through here. But
TSA is an exercise for Americans to get them used to being searched and stripped of dignity.
Well,
you have to stand up with your hands up over your ear.
Well, that's true.
Over your hands a criminal. Why? For our safety. Please.
I agree with both of you because here's the thing.
What proportion?
We'll find out in a moment after this regurgitation.
Sorry, I lose my...
Flemish.
That's the devil grabbing your throat.
Flemish. I think it is. I think you're absolutely right. I agree with Alan in the sense that the TSA agents that I have dealt with, and not just Albany Airport, but in airports across the country, and quite frankly, in other countries as well, seem to be very, very nice people. They realize they're doing a job.
I agree with you in the other countries. I'm talking about the TSA in America, by far the rudest and
most
aggravating.
I have never encountered that. I have never encountered that.
Well, to be fair, I think Rosemary travels perhaps more than anyone.
Well, that's
true.
That is true. And it may be where you're traveling to, Rosemary.
Or it may be what your mind. Or it may be what your mindset is. It may be what your mindset
is. The thought police.
It's just like I know. Like when I walk in,
I'm ready to be offended. Alan's got a point there. I am ready to be offended.
Yeah.
At the Albany Airport, for example, there was a woman standing at the gate, and she was talking to her supervisor, TSA agent. And I walk by her to get into the line, and she starts yelling at me, wait until you are told to go. And I go, where's the sign that says that? You weren't paying attention to me. I walked by. Is there a problem? And she was ready to pull me out of the line, even though she had been wrong. I'm sorry. These are people who get very little money. All they have is power over us. They can make us do anything. If you joke, they can keep you from getting on your plane. And they use that power.
Some of them do.
Many of them.
There is no joke.
Well, I think it's in the Constitution. We're allowed to joke.
Yeah, but it is in the Constitution.
Not in the line in the TSA.
No. Well, it depends on you're joking. I mean, if you talk about, you know...
I mean, I can also talk about passengers who are rude and don't obey the rules.
Well, that's
like
where I agree with. That's where I agree with you that the policy seems silly.
The system is set up. It's like zero tolerance in school. Whatever happens, this is what we do. We don't use any common sense. We can't think. So you have a policy that says only ID from a state. D.C. is not a state,
okay,
therefore
that's
not
silly.
Accepted.
But I'm going to go back.
No, but it's also a matter of individuals. So this schnook doesn't know that
D.C. is a part of the
United
States.
Right. This happens with people. I mean, look, people get pulled over by police officers all the time. You don't tell a police officer ever that you're outraged at the way he's looking at you or talking to you because, there's a certain amount of judicial.
I want police. I don't want the TSA. I would rather
have three men with Uzis
standing in the airport. I think I would feel safer than these silly people telling me to take off my shoes and going through my dirty underwear.
See, you know,
does not make me feel
safe. Wash the underwear.
Why don't you wash it before you travel? That's right. have to worry about it.
When I walk through and they've gone through and they see something and they're questioning, they take it out and they say, oh, okay, this is fine. I feel better about that. I'm
like when they take out your toothpaste, when they take out a bottle of water, when they take out breast milk.
I'm talking about
it's crazy.
I'm talking about when people go through and it's nothing intentional, but they have a pocket knife in and they forget to take it out and they
say,
oh.
I had a tweezers taken away from me.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to hijack a plane with a tweezers.
I wouldn't want you on a plane with tweezers.
MacGyver. I mean, think about it. You know,
I think you could do a lot of damage with tweezers.
I think even the defense of TSA is stupid in this illustration. This conversation illustrates
Why are you
that.
Calling us stupid? Okay. I take a certain
amount of you're being silly.
Rick,
no, I'm not.
Rick Raff, final word.
Underwriting support for Rosemary's Rant comes from the TSA. Jeepers creepers.
We'll rant again tomorrow, I promise you. We'll find another.
I can't
wait
to fly the next time.
We'll find another. Yeah, why would they even let you in that airport?
No. Good luck.
Track your plate as you go in. We'll be back tomorrow. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.